Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. Today is Monday, August 25th, 2014, and with me today I have the tech wizard herself, Kelly Gaumont.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey there. And the man of many words, John Martellaro.
The tech guru.
The tech guru.
We have the wizard and the guru.
That's right. And you put them together, and it's like our own magical little Hogwarts right here.
Yay.
Yeah. And take from that what you will. Yeah. So I was thinking today we could start with the news that Judge Lucy Koh, the U.S. federal court judge, ruled against a motion Samsung has made following the second patent infringement trial that they've had with Apple over mobile device patent infringement. And this is the case that wrapped up earlier this year. The motion that they filed was to invalidate two of the patents that they were hammered with for infringing in this case. And one is the slide to unlock patent, and the other is the universal searching patent. And the argument that Samsung gives is that there is new case law from the U.S. Supreme Court that says that that software that mimics a real world function, like flipping light switches. That's the example I used in the piece that I wrote. Things like that don't qualify as patentable. And so Samsung then presented that new case law to Judge Koh, and said, look, because of this, these two specific patents that you say we infringe on should be considered invalid. Judge Koh denied that motion. Now, on first blush, that sounds great because now Apple doesn't have to deal with Judge Koh saying that these patents are invalid.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, though, her decision has nothing to do with patent validity. It's all based on procedural maneuvering, meaning she says that Samsung filed this motion far too late for it to be considered. And so she denied the motion based on that.
I don't think that's a question of the judge just deciding that she didn't like how late it was reviewed. I think she turned it over to the staff, and the staff sat down and looked at when Samsung needed to file and when they did file, and looked at precedent and the court rules and all that stuff, and just decided and told judge, hey, you know, they didn't file it in time. And so she just passed it along to Samsung. It sounds like it was a fly, sort of an off-the-cuff decision, but I don't think it was. It doesn't sound like it was.
And there you are, just going straight to the level-headed reaction to all of this, not letting us get our listeners all worked up and hot and bothered, thinking that Judge Koh totally has it out for Apple. And
now we haven't read the ruling, to be fair. But, yeah. At least I haven't read the ruling. So for all we know, it starts out, gosh, Samsung, I'm really sorry, but I got to go. I can't rule with you on this one. I'm so sorry.
It's possible that's how it starts, because we know how warm and cuddly Judge Koh is. Okay, that's not fair. For all I know, she is warm and cuddly. It's just,
she could be a lovely person, but it really seems like she hates Apple with the white hot intensity of a thousand suns.
Well, I'm going to go with 900 suns. Judge Koh, okay. Denise Koh, there's your thousand suns.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes, I'll give you that. I find it really interesting to watch this stuff sort of continue, because on the one hand, I think like maybe something interesting is going to happen from this. Maybe all of this stuff going on for as long as it has is going to be one of the things that helps change a little bit of patent law. And then I think, well, there's a lot of lawyers involved in patent law, so maybe nothing's going to change at all. So I kind of go back and forth on it. Some days it's kind of exciting, and most days I roll my eyes and wonder if there's anything else to talk about.
So my question is, how does Samsung correlate slide unlock with something physical reality? I mean, normally...
Because it's unlocking?
Well, no. Oh, I know what it is. Bathroom toilet sliders. That's where they get it. Slide to unlock. I guess that must be...
Oh, like the little deadbolt slider.
Yeah.
On public restroom. Right, that's stalls.
Yeah,
that's quite a stretch, and and yet I can totally see Samsung tossing that out as an argument.
Well,
and
of course,
and Judge Ko looking at it and going, "Really, really, this is what you're going to give me?"
Because I have to rule with you. I have to agree with your ruling, and so you're making me agree with bathroom doors, really?
Yeah, and the other, the universal search.
Mm-hmm.
I would have to do a lot more research to figure out how Samsung could argue that, because the last time I checked, there is no analog in the real world.
Well, sure it is.
Would be for Kelly if there were universal search?
Yeah, Kelly, when you lose your car keys, you know, you don't just look on the bureau or in the hallway on the cabinet. You look under the sofa, you know, you look in the refrigerator, you know, you look in your pants pockets, you know. It's universal search. If you can't look everywhere for your car keys, then you can't find them, right?
But I can't look everywhere for my car keys. Without
some magic or advanced science involving
wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
Yeah, you can't check all those places at once.
Exactly. I do not have universal search. Otherwise, I would be an infinite number of ballpoint pens, a few dozen pairs of sunglasses, a couple of watches, and the one I'm currently looking for, my itty-bitty awesome external battery that used to live in the bottom of my purse, which I now cannot find. All of those things would continue to belong to me.
I'm just imagining what trouble my dating life would have been in.
So I guess they don't have a case on that one.
Not yet.
Mm. No, it would have been nice to hear a ruling from Judge Ko on the validity of these patents.
Yeah.
However, I'm totally with you, John. I think that that Samsung just didn't hit the procedural marks that they needed to for Judge Ko to entertain the motion. Mm-hmm. Therefore, it had to be denied, and there's no point in commenting on her part any further on that. And I think doing so could have potentially opened up major issues or potential issues with the case.
Oh,
so
sure.
Yeah, so all she could say is procedural, nope, you didn't do it, denied.
Wish that were the end of the story.
Oh, this story is going
to don't
drag
we all.
On. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay.
If it gets any longer, it's going to be an R. Kelly album. Trapped in the courtroom.
I appreciate you being here, Kelly, because I've missed those jokes. Okay, so there's another thing that I wanted to talk about today, and this is an idea that I came up with, and there, depending on how wibbly wobbly or timey wimey is, the piece may be up before before you hear the podcast, or it may be up shortly after. And this is the notion that Apple's sites are looking far beyond our wrist for health and fitness tracking sensors. And I'm thinking that Apple might be looking at giving us sensors that we can use on all different places on our bodies. And I know there's a group of you out there right now that just giggled, but bear with me. What if you could put these sensors, say, in a little pocket on a specially designed shirt or specially designed athletic shorts or running shoes, and then the sensor is now collecting localized, very specific data about say your heart rate, your blood pressure, your oxygen levels in your blood, as well as the usual things: how many steps are you taking, how far are you going, and the sensors could be modular, meaning you have the sensor and then you just plug it into whatever piece of clothing, fitness clothing, you happen to be wearing at the time. And you could have multiple sensors. So I could put one in my shirt, one in my shorts, and another in my shoes. And now I can collect very detailed information from each of these sensors and feed it all back into my iPhone and have more data than I would get from, say, just a wrist-worn device.
You know where I think this comes from? I think it comes from the Olympics. And you know, whenever they do the Olympics, they always have these specials where they show you how the athletes are wired up to a computer and they're not even breathing regular air. They're breathing through a tube so that you can monitor their oxygen intake and efficiency, and they're on the treadmill and there's a gazillion computers and wires attached to them. So I think there's some element of that. The other thing I think that's interesting about all this is that we're only seeing bits and pieces of the whole picture, and we're trying to figure out how the bits and pieces might, you know, affect us and how that might be used. But whenever I see those kinds of bits and pieces, I always think, how do you make sense of the big picture? What's really going on here? What's the ultimate goal? I think it's great to monitor specific elements and have these sensors, as long as they're chlorine and laundry safe.
Well, the sensors, you just pop out of the clothes.
If you remember.
If you remember, sure. You remember, so the sensors can't be too expensive because you're going to end up needing to buy more.
Yes.
What is the big picture here? I mean, you know, is it just being able to monitor, you know, a little bit of efficiency in your breathing or your fitness? Or is there something deeper going on here?
It's totally deeper. It's garanimals.
It's garanimals. Yes, that's totally it. You go out and buy the clothes you want that fits with the spec that Apple created for the fitness clothing.
And when you put something in the shirt and something in the shorts, if they don't match, you get an alarm.
And who knows how to market that? Would it be somebody called Angela Ahrens from Burberry, maybe?
If only she knew something about fashion. She'd be a good person.
If only Paul Denevey knew something as well.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. And okay, so Apple could design their own clothing if they wanted, and they certainly have people that know how to create the
fabrics. They've got firepower, yeah.
Yeah, but I look at this as something where Apple could design and build the sensors. You buy the sensors from Apple, and then you go to whatever companies are making the clothing that is compatible with the sensors.
Well, let's name names. Let's start with Nike. We already know there's a good relationship there.
Sure. Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
And since you're talking about athletics,
and Nike does make clothing as well as shoes,
and Tim Cook's on the board,
and we have people that work for Apple that used to work for Nike in the divisions that would tie in directly to this sort of an idea.
You know, often in the malls, there's a MAC Mac store near the Apple store. Maybe they'll get involved.
Sure. And I found an interesting article over the weekend, which I am mentioning in the piece that I'm writing right now. And it's that Ralph Lauren is going to be field testing their own biometric data collection shirts at the U.S. Open, the tennis tournament.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That starts – I'm not a sports person, but I believe it's this week.
I thought it was – yeah.
Or it's already started. I don't know. And for the, you tennis fans, I'm sorry that I don't know. Yeah. But anyhow, they're testing a biometric data collection shirt right now.
Okay.
And there are other companies that are working on these types of products now. Plus, we have patents from Apple that kind of back up this notion. Like, they have a patent that's for a wrist-worn pedometer, but it also describes how the sensor can be placed on other parts of your body, and it figures out where it is and then starts tracking your steps accurately based on where it is.
Okay, so Jeff, I got to ask you this because this is the you're looking, what you're talking about here is partnership, where Apple makes something and someone else kind of has to bring it home. And that seems like a reasonable idea, but here's the deal. Whenever I say this about the Apple TV, that I don't think Apple's going to make a television, I think the closest they're ever going to come is make a deal with somebody who makes an Apple TV-sized dent with an HDMI port and a place for power so that you can just set it back there and then use one remote to rule them all. Mm-hmm. Every time I say something like this to people, they say, Apple wouldn't make a deal with someone else for something like that. Apple's not into making deals with other people to do anything besides like a case for something that starts with the letter I. So tell me how you think that this is going to go.
Well, okay, so I look at this in a sense like a hybrid between the Apple TV model and the iPhone and iPod case model, where Apple is making the hardware that does the heavy lifting. But it's designed to connect to something else that makes it a complete thing. So in the case of Apple TV, they give you the little box that does the heavy lifting. You plug in your own television. Mm-hmm. In the case of these sensors that I'm envisioning, it would be more like the iPod. Apple makes the device. Someone else makes the thing you stick it into. And in this case, it would be an athletic shirt or some like running shorts or bike shorts or shoes.
So are you envisioning this as like a little like a pocket with a little snap on it or like a Velcro situation? Or
yeah, it's like a little pocket. Maybe. Yeah, it could be Velcro covering it. It could be a snap covering it. It could just be the way the pocket is formed. It's just a little slit that the sensor slides into, and there's contacts in the shirt. The sensor touches those.
Okay.
And now the fabric of the shirt has metal threads woven into it to collect biometric data. And then that information gets fed back to the little sensor, which also has other things in it for tracking information all on its own. So I guess in theory you could just throw it in your pocket if you wanted, and so it can be tracking all that biometric data plus how many steps you're taking, where maybe it has a GPS in it, so it knows where you're going, all of that.
Jeff, is this getting too complicated? I mean, you virtually have to gear up in the morning like an astronaut. I can see how you would do it if you were getting ready to run or to go, you know, play a sport and do bicycling or something like that. Like, we've got the Pro Challenge going on in Colorado right now, and those people would definitely want to gear up and monitor their state of being. But what about the average person? Doesn't Apple want to have a broad audience?
Fitbit.
I
get up every morning, and part of what I do when I'm dressed and ready and like trying to face the day is I put my phone in one pocket and I put my Fitbit in the other.
Yeah, but we're all kind of geeky, and we're in the habit of having equipment around us and fiddling with equipment and drives and phones and flash drives and computers and whatnot. But what about the average person who would have bought an iPod just to put in their pocket and listen to music? I mean, is it getting too gear intensive for the average person?
Maybe, but the Fitbit and the Jawbone Up and the Nike Fuel Band, all of these devices tell me that the average person is okay clipping something on, slapping something on their wrist, whatever it is.
Because pedometers were around way before the Fitbit. The Fitbit just made it something nerds wanted to do. But my mom's worn a pedometer for a long time. And my mom is not a super technical person.
And yeah, and if you're someone that's like, I really don't want to clip this thing on my belt or put it in the pocket on my special shirt, there's always the iWatch, assuming that's actually a device that really is happening. You just put your wristwatch on and away you go.
Right.
So there would be tiered levels of gearing up.
Sure. Sure.
Which makes sense. Yes.
Yeah. And we're out of time. Man, I would love to keep talking about this, but we are like so out of time. So we have to wrap up, and I'm glad that we took the time to talk through this because I find it incredibly interesting, and I'm really curious to see what our listeners think when they hear this, and what they think when they read my piece too. So thank you, both of you, for joining me today and being my sounding board.
Gear out. See you later, wizard.
Later, guru.